All right, hey folks, we're back with the Long Distance Relationship Podcast, and this is really the episode we started the podcast for. This is the Last Supper edition, and since we're all about food, tonight we brought in biblical expert David Ray Allen to help keep us on track. We brought in taco expert Michael Allen. We brought in genuine food experts Luke Gutekunst and Tyler Hendricks to really, really give some banter and maybe even talk about the waist sizes of some of the disciples. So that would be a good time. Michael, I'm going to let you tee this one off. We're going to skip the introductions tonight. Michael, I want you to tee this one off because you started it. Started going into this last time. How many courses were there at the Last Supper?
See, we're talking courses. We're talking like this was a sit down, you know, somebody brings out your first bit, maybe some mozzarella sticks, you know, somebody then brings out the next round. I'm personally viewing this as a long table filled up the middle with potluck, you know, and it's kind of to your discretion how many times you go back. Chins on a Sunday afternoon, if you will. Maybe you go for the chips, the fried whatever that is that they have at the Chinese restaurant, you know. Maybe you come back, maybe you go back a second time, you get a little square of Jell-O, just still trying to warm your body up. If you're David Allen, you start with a salad. And then you work into the fried rice, the lo mein. I'm not suggesting that these foods would have been there, obviously. But I am suggesting that, you know, it's sort of one of those deals where you take it at your own pace, if you will.
Okay, we're gonna wrap that now to David Ray. David Ray, how do you feel about that from the actual more biblical perspective than Michael's chins analogy?
I have nothing to offer from a biblical perspective to anything that Michael just said. I can guarantee that there probably were not mozzarella sticks there. I'm going to imagine probably if there was a meat, it was fish would be my guess. Again, this is nothing biblical. This is just conjecture. Definitely some bread and wine were there. I'm going to guess, you know, nice fruit, but I think the thing to highlight about this is that it was a very contested meal. I mean, there's got to be a lot of animosity at the table that needs to be talked about. Probably everybody knew what was going to happen, but nobody really knew how it was going to happen, you know, so there probably a lot of pointing fingers, taps under the table, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, so, I have nothing to offer, though, on the courses. I mean, maybe three sounds like a nice number. Nice biblical number, maybe seven, perhaps.
Seven. Yeah.
Going back to what you said there with wine there, did Jesus flex? Did he bring water just like – or was it wine from the get-go?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, if you're reading it from the Gospel of John perspective where that actually happens in John 2, the wedding at Cana, then maybe perhaps you would think that John would include that. He doesn't, but, I mean – I'm willing to think that, Will. I like that idea that there was some water there turned into wine. Maybe he let it run out on purpose. Maybe he told the boys to drink up just so he could give it another tap.
Hey, David, any thoughts on you kicking off the podcast by saying you're going to offer no biblical opinions and we're already in John 2?
Yeah, I'd like to jump in John 2 as well. I can kind of attest to that. So the miracle at the wedding at Cana, your boy Jesus does his first miracle. That John writes about, but he turns water into wine. But the way they did that meal is that the disciples were taking buckets of like big clay pots full of wine to each table and then bringing them back to Jesus to fill up. So the disciples themselves are Jesus's wait staff. So I'm thinking I'm going to hop on with Michael and say that it was just one big spread and that it kind of, I don't know if you've ever done like a tapas bar crawl, but I'm thinking a lot of finger food, thinking an unbelievable hummus, unleavened pita bread spread. We're talking olives. I mean, we're talking right there in the Mediterranean hotspot. Those are some bueno olives there. I'm thinking it was just a big tapas bar, honestly. But definitely what David was saying, a lot of tension there. That kind of happened after the meal. You know, Jesus took the cup and broke it and blessed the cup and the bread. But it was kind of like, all right, everybody's got their toothpick. Everybody's kind of loosened two notches on their belt. Like, I'm sure – I don't know what Judas is doing. He's probably just over there sweating it out. But Jesus says, hey, man, like, when are y'all going to betray me? And they're, you know, I'm sure everybody's a little tipsy. I'm sure the Lord brought the most excellent vino. But I think it really got tense after the meal, and everybody was like, come on, man. Like, we're having a good time. Like, all this, all that. Like, I don't think the disciples knew till after this spread that was going to be the Last Supper. Like, I don't think it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't come into it being like, yo, this is it. This is one last one for the boys.
I'd just like to ask one thing. You know, we all know somebody who's a paranoid drunk. Do we think that anybody there had a little too much to drink and then got a little bit concerned when Jesus started talking about who was going to get betrayed? Somebody accidentally raises a hand, you know. Well, Michael's chiming in. Okay.
Oh, I was kind of ready for this.
Got to be Peter, right? Got to be Peter.
Oh, it could be. I mean, Peter's a little antsy right now.
Peter or Thomas?
I'm thinking, you know, James earlier was like, hey, man, remember somebody, I don't remember the exact story. David Ray, I'm sure you can help me. When somebody was talking junk, maybe, and James hollered at Jesus, he was like, hey, what's up? Should we just, like, strike him with lightning? You remember that, Dave? You know what I'm talking about?
Are you going non-canonical? Are you going with some
No. This is in there. Because then James and John were the brothers of thunder. Because they were like, Jesus, let's just strike them with lightning. You know what I'm talking about?
Can't say I do, my friend.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
All right, hang on.
All right, while Michael's finding that, two questions I've written down from what we just went over. Number one, who has more pressure on them? Judas at that dinner or Vinatieri in the Super Bowl?
Which Super Bowl for Vinatieri? Because if he misses the kick in the first Rams Super Bowl, he might not be a Patriot anymore.
That one.
I mean, I think Judas has already been paid. You know, Judas knows what he's got to do. He's got 30 pieces of walking around silver money in his pocket. I think he's a little boozed up, maybe a little giggly. He might slip out. He'd be like, oh, it's me? You know, like, I don't know if he's like stone-faced Phil Ivey at the poker table or if he's the schmuck I played with last night, but it's I'm saying Judas is Cool Hand Luke out there, man. He's got a fistful of dollars and he's just hanging out.
Question two, Goot, did the Lord and Savior partake in Budweiser that night or no? Mm.
Unfortunately, the King of Beers was not established for about 1,900 years after that. So I think they were probably partaking in some sort of mead, some sort of like honey grain wine, which probably didn't, you know, wasn't as cold filtered and beechwood lagered like Budweiser is. I'd be shocked if they had a beechwood lagering system back in the in biblical times. That'd be a heck of a engineering feat for the disciples.
Very true. Just had to check in.
You think Jesus ever had like a homebrew competition with the disciples to see who could bring the best vino?
I need an answer from everyone on this. What would Jesus name his IPA?
Hey, how fast is David Ray getting kicked out of divinity school when this comes across somebody's desk?
It's gonna happen pretty quickly.
Okay, well, I'm thinking it's going to be something like...
I'm getting a certificate in food faith and justice.
Funky Mount Sinai. Honey.
It was definitely a nitro drip too.
Hey,
yeah, guys. I'm thinking tall, dark, and handsome would be what he would thought. Slap that in a brown bottle, it's over with.
What's the cover art?
Burning bush. In a robe with some sandals.
The bush is wearing sandals? This is brilliant.
Yeah, or it's the Ten Commandments and just like, you know, I'm gonna butcher the Ten Commandments, but it's like, don't drink this beer while it's warm. Don't drink this beer in the shade. Don't discuss serious business while you're drinking this beer, you know.
Like Kyle actually put something together here. Good, 10 laws you're taking notes.
Drinking, 10 laws where you're drinking tall, dark, and handsome.
I would just like to remind everybody that when Will wrote the Gospel of Ball, he compared Jesus to, and I'm not even kidding, Rasheed Wallace. That was his comparison.
Wait, what is it, Will? What is the Gospel of Ball?
It's one of the best things we've ever done.
Shameless plug. The Gospel of Ball is something I wrote with D-Ray sophomore year. We were texting with a Trip couple Shank. People. Yeah, Trip Shank and Luke, and we were like, hey, let's compare Bible. No, it all started because me and D-Ray were watching the Sixers play, and we looked at each other. We were like, you know who Ezekiel in the Bible would have been? Nerlens Noel. And we both said the same person.
The best part of the whole thing, though, is that we gave everybody a nickname and a comparison. And, like, for instance, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got drafted in the second round, and our nickname for them was the Flame Gang.
Jesus had a great crossover.
They all went together?
Yeah, they were a team.
They have to.
Will's nickname for Daniel was just Danny Basketball.
It's so funny, bro. Oh, man. Okay.
Hey, I wanna go back real quick because I was able to find biblical evidence in Luke 9, where James and John looked to the Lord and they said, "Should we command or wilt thou command fire down from the heaven and consume them?" So that's what I was saying. They said, "Hey, you trying to bring some lightning down and strike these dudes down?" You know what I'm saying?
That's okay. I thought you said that he threatened to lightning strike one of the disciples.
No, James asked Jesus. He was like, "Hey, should we go get them with this lightning? Why don't you just call the lightning down?"
I still wouldn't have known that reverence, but that's good.
Anyway, here's what I'm saying. You're saying who's a paranoid drunk? I'm saying if James, sober-minded, his first thought is, Jesus, let's get some fire from the sky. Imagine him when he's had a few. You know what I'm saying? When he's a bit inebriated.
That's where you were going with this.
You think this guy with a sober mind who's calling for fire from the heavens is now about to chill when he's had a couple? Nah.
All right. Like, that's a good transition to spin it back to food. Were there appetizers, and what were they?
Mott sticks.
Mott sticks. Dude, I'm interested.
Well, I did a little homework before I hopped on because I didn't want to come in naked. And I looked up what a lot of foods, what the diet consisted of in those times. And I found this on learnreligions.com. Some of today's healthiest known foods were part of the biblical diet. One of these particularly stands out to me as a wow, I didn't know that was part of the biblical diet. These included olives, olive oil, grapes, goat milk, pomegranates, raw honey, lamb, and bitter herbs. I thought pomegranates were like an exotic fruit, but they were growing in like Israel, tens of thousands thousands of years ago. That one really struck me. I mean, I cleaned pomegranates in my sink today, and to think that they were being eaten back in the time of Jesus was a real shocker to me.
Can I throw a little ridge into the dinner plan, just in general?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
More than likely, these guys are not sitting at a table at all. They're probably reclining on the couch, because that's how they did it back in the day. All the time, they're reclining. It's not quite like a couch, and they're reclining on the floor cushions, basically. So I'm trying to think of what food would fit perfectly into one of these things where you don't necessarily have a firm table in front of you. You kind of got to hold the plate with you. Mozzarella sticks definitely does work there, Mike. I like that idea.
Tyler's hummus dip hits hard right there. I can just see.
But where do you put the dip in that situation if there's no table? You just put it in front of you?
No, I think you've got the dip on your plate, like right in front of you. You take a little bit off, you put it on the plate. All I'm saying is I wouldn't put it past Jesus to turn water into marinara.
That would be a flex. That's why, bro. That's why he.
Not quite as catchy, but I mean.
They didn't want to say that, but they didn't want to tell us the truth.
There's an episode title for you, Water and a Marinara.
Is Jesus the mastermind behind Ragu?
Jesus. Oh, man. So my next question is going to be passable food, finger bites perhaps, toasties, you know, whatever. But we're going to skip that one because now I want Michael to get this lob. Michael. The Last Supper happened today. Jesus and all his men, you know, the disciples out here eating. what's the table? Where do they go? What do they eat?
I mean, I'm saying, first of all, somebody's got to come through clutch with the KFC bucket. When's the last time your family had a reunion? You know, everybody brings something and there wasn't a KFC bucket. All right. So now we got to go through the disciples, figure out who's kind of lazy because they didn't want to make something on their own, but also who's clutch, because whether or not it might be the easiest thing to bring, but also everybody wants some. And if you're not at the front of the line, you miss it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm also going with a take that there was absolutely the 12 box of tacos from Taco Bell. And I know who brought that, and it was Judas Iscariot. And I'll tell you why. And it's because though it may be sweet on your lips like a kiss in the moment, soon it will later betray you.
Oh, God, you practiced that so much. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, and that's all I got to say. I'm going to sign out. I'll see you fellas later.
Wow.
What's your take on this, David Ray, going in the biblical mind?
I'm wondering what's the – I feel like Bartholomew seems like the kind of guy who would have brought something that nobody was expecting, like some random – I don't know, I'm thinking like Zoe's Kitchen or something like that, like something nobody wants. And Bartholomew comes in like real excited about what he's got, and everybody's like, bro, you brought Zoe's Kitchen? Like what? This is what I see.
Simon Peter brought a chopped salad.
What do we think that James, son of Alphaeus, brought? The man who could not shake free of his father's cloud. Always, that's like if I walked around and was introduced as Luke, son of Thomas.
Who was the big flex at the table and just, you know, like they put a dollar limit on it and he's like, "Hi guys, I got catering. It's Maggiano's." Like, who was that guy?
That's a good question.
I mean, my hope is that someone in there bit the bullet and got him the Red Robin burger package. There's no better way to celebrate Christ's last meal than a juicy Red Robin burger sponsor us.
The Sons of Thunder definitely went in together. They texted each other before and like, yo, dude, instead of us bringing something together, like, let's just go in on something. Let's put our cash together.
David Ray, can I give you a suggestion of what that thing was?
I'm ready.
Nugget tray.
Yeah, Michael's thinking the same thing.
if Chick-fil-A was not involved with this meal, then it wouldn't actually have been the Last Supper.
It absolutely was, but I'll tell you what.
What?
I wouldn't put it past Jesus to turn water into Polynesian. That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't put it past him. They only brought Chick-fil-A sauce. Jesus did like this.
You think they had a group chat, the disciples without Jesus? What do you think they called themselves? Like the Dirty 11 or something kind of hype? I mean, Dirty 12?
I don't want to get us too far off track here, but I do want to chime in. Polynesian doesn't make my top three lists of Chick-fil-A sauces.
Can we get into this briefly?
I'm with Goot there.
Biblical discussion, but I'm happy to dive in, Mike.
You got two minutes.
I'm on board with Goot there.
Hash it out.
You're saying Polynesian isn't top three?
Absolutely not top three.
In no particular order, honey roasted barbecue, Chick-fil-A, and honey mustard. I know that they're all three the same sauce. But
I was about to say, that's the exact same sauce three times.
I know, they're all three.
All three you would argue are better than Polynesian. That's a fair argument. You know, they're technically different. Mine are completely separate. I'd go Chick-fil-A sauce, ranch.
Yes, yes.
And honey mustard.
You've had Chick-fil-A's ranch and you do it again?
Yes, I love the ranch.
Oh, I'd do it 10 times over.
That's a miss, man. And you wouldn't have Polynesian? Not even a mix?
No.
Chick-fil-A, ranch, buffalo.
Now, the buffalo's flame, I'm not even about to lie.
Did you guys see they're making Chick-fil-A?
Actually, that one slipped my mind. Take out, and I'm not going to take out ranch. Take out honey mustard, insert zesty buffalo. So for
me and Goot are three for three. We're in complete agreement.
The buffalo is just a one-trick pony because you can't put that on a sandwich. It's too
rough. No, not putting it on a sandwich. You're right.
That's nuggets. If you're not eating nuggets, you're not eating buffalo sauce.
It's me.
Whoever's controlling the screen, please try to find a power ranking of these.
Listen, all I'm saying is I think that every sauce detracts from the nugget other than Polynesian. I think that everything else tries to alter the flavor too much.
I couldn't disagree more. Chick-fil-A sauce and ranch both go great with the nuggets.
Here we go. We're going to trust Clark.com.
Dude, we trusted him with the Pringles, and they had pizza at 31 out of 35. So.
Michael Timmerman has a lot of – okay. All right.
This is a heck of a list here.
I think that was Tyler's list. 1, 2, 3. That was Tyler's 3.
Everybody peep this quote right here.
No, I had the honey roasted barbecue sauce. I don't mess with ketchup-based barbecue sauce. That's just for children.
Bro, someone's a cake from Business Insider. That's weird.
Oh, man.
Let's go sriracha sauce. Rep the set, baby. Above that. Above
what is
that
garlic
ranch.
And herb ranch sauce?
Never that's what it is.
Herb ranch is.
Well, wow, that's a tough scene for it to get ranked last.
Yeah.
Sriracha sauce, the sweet and spicy sriracha tastes like someone mixed Polynesian. What?
I agree with that. That's a good take.
All right, we're at 2 minutes. Let's get back on track. Jeez.
I've never had more of a clear sight into Will Bryant's life in 10 years than seeing that there is a role for a Business Insider who ranks Chick-fil-A sauces. In 5 years, this article is not going to say Business Insider says. It's going to say Slick Willie writes.
Bro, look at this crush right here. If you're a ranch fanatic, my advice is to bring your own.
Listen, what did I say?
That's garbage.
If you've had it once, you've had it enough.
You know what I used to do? Well, I used to, when we were at UNC, I would go and get two. I would get a regular Chick-fil-A sandwich and a spicy Chick-fil-A sandwich. I'd get a ranch and a buffalo, and I'd put the buffalo on the not spicy and the ranch on the spicy one.
That's chaotic evil. You just like to see the world burn. Your taste buds just want to every day.
I'd call it – it was like Shaka Smart's defense at VCU. It was controlled chaos.
Reference Shaka Smart. Oh, wow. Did not have that one on my bingo card. Rewinding back to our last supper. Tyler, back to you. Modern day, what are they eating?
Dude, it's got to be a charcuterie board, man. Like, you gotta, like, you're whipping out the cheese ball with the pretzels on the outside. You've got all manner of cracker. I still think you got to throw up some Saba hummus. Like, I think just to pay homage to the original. I think there's olives again, like an olive oil in the hummus. Maybe there's some, like, olive oil and balsamic vinegar to dip some of that bread in before they break it for the communion. I think it's just a big tapas bar, a lot of handheld food, a lot of stuff you can puff pass on, a lot of maybe Jesus spice it up and he's got like a chocolate fountain with some strawberries, or there's like a fondue pot type thing, a little sweet and savory. There's really no tell. Maybe he's got a nacho cheese fountain. And it's just like disciples are running their head under it and pulling their hair back, and the flow's all up in the cheese. So,
I love that. Yours is the most, like, visual and commercial of it. Like, I could see that happening. I could see them sitting there.
Have you ever been to like, one of those Caribbean islands where they do, like, big pots of paella on the sand out by the beach? I can see this being – they have all the ingredients in biblical times to make a paella, right? They've got the rice. They got the grains. They got the seafood. They got all the spices. I'm sure they can make, like, a clay, you know, whatever you want to call it, a wok, if you will. Mm. And it's communal. I think all the pieces are there to suggest that paella might have been at the Last Supper.
I can see that. You can line them up like a soup kitchen.
Exactly.
For some reason, when I tried to think this over earlier today, I was really brainstorming. And for some reason, all I could see was a bunch of men in togas at an Outback. So I'm going to stand firm that if it happened in today's time.
Steak and lobster.
Yeah, on the bobby with a blooming onion, you know. And the thing is, everyone would act like they were, you know, going to eat, get dessert, and then chill. No, they're running out. Judas gets the entire tab. That's why it happens. Judas is stuck with the whole meal.
You think Judas drops his 30 pieces of silver to pick up the tab?
Yep, has to. That's why he gets mad.
I mean, he's getting ready to go out in style, man. I mean, he's just dropping it down.
I was going to ask, who do we think's footing the bill?
Oh.
We looking like really Vince Young at the Cheesecake Factory? Or, I mean, like, what are we talking dollar value-wise?
Okay, let's think about the bill. We got 12 guys. Who is going to be the one who, you know, let's all split evenly and get, like, the 22-ouncer? Just goes to town.
First off, that's a power move.
Absolutely.
You might feel guilty doing it, but it's a wise decision.
He's going to have some for later.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
He just won't need any for later.
Tyler has a specific order, if I remember correctly, that he gets from Outback, because at our bachelor weekend, I specifically remember Tyler explaining to the entire table exactly what he gets from Outback every time. Am I correct on that, Tyler?
Yeah, I took a test. I took the FE exam in February, and I passed first try, which hats off to me because I really didn't study a lick. But my mom sent me $75 via Zelle and said, "Treat yourself." So I said, "Ladies and gents, we're going to Outback."
Nice.
Went to Outback.
$75 at Outback, you are king for the day.
Oh, I was lording around. Make no mistake that I walked in there and had the biggest chain wallet you will ever see. But anyway, we started the table with a Bloomin' Onion. Of course, I picked that up. You know, I got $75 to blow. Ordered a 16-ounce prime rib. Cheese wedge salad. And I got the loaded baked potato, but I also ordered a few mixies because Outback has $5 mixed drinks and they are scrumptious.
What'd you do with the other $40?
I picked up a steak to go. I picked up a New York strip plate to go and ate it in the car on the way back.
Hey, but, guys, real quick, can I tell
that
story?
No, don't do that to me.
Guys, so this summer, Tyler and I worked together in a kitchen at a camp, and one night we traveled about 35 minutes to go to the nearest Olive Garden to treat ourselves and have a nice dinner, and so Tyler ate a full plate of pasta, and I remember I left
breadsticks, a lot of salad,
I remember I left with like some with a small box to take home, have next day for lunch because I was so full. We get in the parking lot, and Tyler notices that there's a Jimmy John's right next door. and he asks if we can go over there so he can get a Slim. and so he goes in and walks out all happy, holding a Slim from Jimmy John's. And that night, probably 8:39, cracks it open.
The thing you have to understand is we were working in the boonies, BFE Jasper, and the only sub I'm going to get there is from Subway. And though Subway is serviceable in some instances, my second favorite food is a cold cut sandwich. So seeing Jimmy John's right there and knowing that I got to drive 45 minutes back to come get it and then drive 45 minutes back to camp, I was like, yeah, I'll throw one up. Walk out with 16 inches of sub, man.
When I say the words serviceable pitcher, who comes to your head? Just what? Who's the first person?
You're talking starter or are we talking reliever?
Starter.
Give me Anibal Sanchez.
Wait, when we say serviceable.
I'm talking like – I want. Like
that'll do the job.
175 innings and ERA around 4.
Mike Fiers.
Brandon McCarthy.
Nah, he's a snitch. We don't do him. Fiers a snitch.
Dude, I'm interested where Goose going with this.
Can I get CC Sabathia?
No, he's a Cy Young winner, Michael.
He's too good?
He might get the Hall of Fame.
I just like how big he is.
I'm going to go with Rick Porcello.
He might give you
1 year out of the ordinary, but every other year he's hitting that exact metric you gave there.
Rick Porcello, Cy Young winner. Isn't that nuts?
By definition,
serviceable would mean that everybody could find use in this man. So really our textbook definition is Edwin Jackson.
Edwin Jackson has been everywhere.
He is well serviced.
Don't use Phil Hughes has serviceable tattooed on his chest.
Does he really?
No, I'm just kidding. That would be amazing.
That would be unbelievable.
He threw a perfect game. Let's not disrespect the man.
Phil Hughes? Phil
Hughes threw a perfect game?
Didn't he? No, Phil Humber. Oh.
I don't think Phil Hughes ever threw a perfect inning.
I don't think Philip Hughes has made six innings into a ball game.
You guys need to go back and watch Philip Humber's perfect game. The last pitch in the perfect game is 3-2 count, and it's low and away, and it's in the dirt, and the guy, like, goes a quarter of the way around, and the home plate umpire rings him up. It's such a bad call.
Well, I mean, that's a Galarraga call. That's just – there it is.
Yep.
I watched the Randy Johnson perfect game against the Bravos came up on my suggested YouTube page, and I watched Andy the entire Perez, game. Man. And he
– that last strikeout was –
he ate everybody's lunch.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys are feeling the same way, but with without sports before bed, I've been just about as deep in YouTube highlight tapes as I could possibly be. The other night, I treated myself before bed to 45 minutes of Eli Manning, Brandon Jacobs, Tiki Barber, and Plaxico Burress highlight career highlight films.
Dude, I got a good – listen, there's a guy on YouTube. His name is B Slings. I think it's like 008. But all he does is he takes all of Tiger's wins and he cuts out all the commentary, all everybody else's shots, and it's like 40 minutes of just Tiger hitting shots of the tournament.
Oh.
There's nothing else. Check out Beast Links. He does a great job.
You're telling me that's better than watching Brandon Jacobs hit the A-gap?
I've been watching a bunch of
the A-gaps.
I personally am a fan of Frank Gore highlights. Nothing gets me going like 3.9 yards a carry.
Wait, you brought up what's the age old hypothetical there where it's the Frank Gore highlights, 2008 Frank Gore highlights, or a Wendy's four for four.
give me Frank Gore all week and twice on Sundays. I'll take 3.9 over 4.4 any day.
Yikes.
So before I go into giving you each your 40 seconds to lay this out. Something I was also thinking about the Last Supper. Say the scenario presented itself where no one's bringing anything, and Jesus is like, the Christ is off tonight. You have to cater. What do you make for the Last Supper? Like, what is your go-to? You making a bunch of Sammies? You going with the sandwich brigade? I'm personally probably going to just fill them up with some of my deep dish pizza that comes out of the Chef Boyardee box. Pretty good stuff.
Chef Boyardee make pizza? I don't think so.
Oh.
You've never had a chef? Yes, you have, David Ray. You've had a Chef Boyardee make it yourself pizza.
No, I don't think I have, no.
We used to make them at the crib. You remember?
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those look familiar.
The little pepperonis, man.
All you need to do is see Chef Boyardee pop up on that box, and it just triggered the memory.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
I can honestly say, not only have I never had one of those, I don't think I've ever seen the box or heard of it.
Very good.
This is what we call the differences in the old Mason-Dixon line.
Goot's been watching Brandon Jacobs' Tiki Barber highlights. I've been watching a lot of cooking shows. I actually ordered a cast iron skillet at like 1:10 in the morning, like 3 days ago.
Just watching. What size you get there? What size you throw out?
It's a 10, it's
12,
a
16 inches.
It's a 10 inch. I'm starting with a nice little 10 inch skillet. I'm working my way up.
You should have bought 12 and just stuck with it.
Maybe it was a 12. Now I'm thinking about it. But
10's
anyway,
10's not going to be enough, man. I promise you. I've been down that market.
I seasoned it this morning, so I think I'm not going to.
What'd you use? Use Crisco yet. Or veggie oil?
Veggie oil, baby.
Oh, that's so pathetic. You should have gone for the Crisco.
I'm going to go.
You've wasted your time. The thing you've done is you've wasted your time, so you need to go scrape that layer of carbon you built up with that veggie oil, and you need to go get you a big old vat of Crisco.
Bro, I'm not going to do that, but I appreciate
Tyler's passion regarding your cast iron skillet is something I never expected to happen on this podcast.
I'm here for it.
I'm gonna make hot dogs. Actually, you know what? Hot dogs aren't kosher, I don't think, so that wouldn't have rolled well because – all right, so I'm going to have to go a different direction. I'm going to go chicken, some kind of chicken, nice chicken rice, maybe some corn on the cob. I can do some fried squash if you want to throw that in the mix.
Wow.
Maybe a milkshake to, you know, cap it off. I don't know.
I'm going to call you Davey Flay. Good All right, boys. Does anybody else have anything they want to add about the Last Supper before I give you your 40 minutes for Tyler to shit on local businesses?
What? What is Tyler doing?
Did you not listen last time?
That. No, I didn't see this. What
he
is it?
He starts his 40 seconds with, "All right, guys, I know you're quarantined. You want to help support local businesses? Don't. Stay inside. Social distance."
Oh, I thought he was going to say, "Go buy chains. Help the chains out."
7-Eleven's hurting.
You got to support big food in times like this, man.
People eat in New York right now, like,
what am I eating in New York?
Yeah, like, what are you cooking for? Where do you go to the grocery?
So traditionally, I'm a Trader Joe's purist, but recently I found that I've had to pay a little extra, but Amazon will deliver Whole Foods right to your door, and at times when you don't want to leave the apartment for fear of the virus, grocery showing up right to your door can't be beat. So tonight I had a turkey sandwich with a little mozzarella cheese, some sriracha aioli, tomatoes, and then as a side I had some I forget what the name of it is. It's like noodle, like string cut zucchini and squash with some pesto on it.
Mm. Tyler, when somebody says Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, does that just an alarm go off in your head? Because I know how you are. Like, I love both those places, but I'm just waiting for you to just go off for 30 seconds.
No, I've been in a Whole Foods once. I've been in a Trader Joe's once. I'm on the side of putting good fuel into the body. Good fuel is good living. So I wouldn't necessarily say that, like, some of the stuff that you're going to get at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods isn't just as good as some of the stuff you're going to get at like Harris Teeter or Publix or Aldi. But I know where I'm going, where I live right now, I've got an Aldi and a Publix in town. And I'm not going to drive the extra 30 minutes for Trader Joe's or Whole Foods because the difference there is just not significant enough for me. And the quality.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not a Whole Foods guy until this pandemic set in. But I will say that you said that, you know, I have been to a Trader Joe's and a Whole Foods once. You said that with the same disdain that somebody would like admit to their parents they were at a strip club. You're like, well, I did go once.
Well, I've never been to a strip club. I just want to go on record and say anti-strip club at the moment until someone takes me. But I just grew up on Ingles and Wally World, and my mom always says poor people shop at not Walmart. So there it is.
That's a hell of a quote. I love it.
And Tyler, your dad would be way more upset about you going to Whole Foods than going to a strip club. There's no.
I took my dad. My dad has walked into a Whole Foods with. I got a good another dad story. One time, me and my dad walked into a Panera Bread to get something to eat. We looked at the menu, looked at each other, didn't say a word, and just turned around and walked out. It's the only time I've ever been to Panera Bread. And then we walked across the parking lot to Jersey Mike's and threw down two giant number 13s. But.
Christ.
Yeah, no, my dad's on like a juice kick right now. So he's like juicing.
That's unbelievable.
Like a,
that's very Whole Foods of him.
Yes, but he is buying all his stuff from, I'm sure, Dollar Tree. So.
Is there such a. It could be potentially toxic and dangerous to do an Aldi juice cleanse.
Aldi's great. Chance. Wait, Aldi's hang on. Fantastic. Don't shame Aldi. Aldi and Trader Jones are owned by the same family. One brother.
You like Trader Joe's?
One brother owns Trader Joe's. One brother owns Aldi. They're the same chain. They have the same distribution centers. You should look that up. But
that's like saying that Anheuser-Busch owns both Budweiser and like Hurricane High Gravity.
No, not at all. That man
comes from the same brewery. Comes from the look, Tyler. Let's connect offline about this.
Okay, I like
let's
that.
Let's connect
that's
offline
great.
About Budweiser. The similarities between Budweiser.
Well, give me Goody's phone number. I also Goody offline. I'm gonna need the total square footage number of your apartment in New York City because my friend Andy.
Oh, now we're just getting mean.
My friend Andy is there now, and it is less than what he weighs. So I love those stats.
Natural Light and Michelob Ultra come out of the same brewery and potentially the same line. So
I love Natty Light. It's my favorite beer. The same.
All right, on to the next topic.
Wait, hang on. Look at me. Can we see the rations down here?
Nice.
I think it's a Natty Light.
It's Natty Light and a couple cases of Agua.
That's what we love to see.
Is it Natter Days or just Natty Light?
The thing about Natter Day is you can only drink like three of them before your type 2 diabetes kicks in. So it's just the OG.
All right, boys. About to round it out. I'm going to give you each 40 seconds. I'm going to go in order on my screen. So let me get my timer up and then Michael.
What are we doing in this 40 seconds?
FaceTime, man.
It's like the end of – yep, except I gave you 40 because I needed Tyler to keep going. I don't remember what Grayson used his 40 to do the other day, or Michael. Michael's was funny. I don't remember what Jake did. I only remember Tyler shitting on food. So, Michael, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Go.
All right, well, I just want to use my FaceTime to go a little bit further into this discussion that we've had. Tonight, especially here on, I guess, is it Monday, Thursday? Yeah. You know, going into this weekend, upon Jesus' resurrection, when he did come back and he was talking to some of his buddies, he was telling them what's up. He said, "Hey, what's up? I'm here. It's me. This is my flesh." And he said in Luke 24, "Y'all got anything to eat?" So I just want to say Luke 24:41. "Do you have anything here to eat?" from Jesus. Whatever was at the Last Supper, it didn't sustain.
Boom. You in that really good time?
He died. Of course it didn't sustain. What do you think it's the last 3 days? What kind of connection is that?
Jesus woke up with worms in his belly, boy. He's famished. David Ray's going to you. 40 seconds, hit it.
Yeah, I didn't know we were doing this. So I'm just going to say I just heard that Brandon Huffman's transferring from UNC. I'd like to build an all-UNC transfer team with Seventh Woods, Brandon Huffman, and the Ware brothers being the crux of the team, the Ware twins. Sad to see B-Huff go. And I'd like to also say Roy Williams, his beard looks great. I hope he keeps it through the off season. I don't think he will, but I hope we see him at Late Night with Roy next year, rocking a beard.
You only used 30 of your seconds.
I didn't know I was doing this. I wasn't ready. 30 seconds, just thinking all around the horn. That's good enough for me.
No, that's fair enough.
Watch.
I'm gonna watch what?
Did you guys hear me there?
Yep.
I'm sorry. Like all of a sudden music started playing in my thing. So you should watch the latest video from Always Late with Katie Nolan, where six people get in a Zoom call from ESPN and they have to try to get the most famous person on the call. It's hilarious. Joey Chestnut makes an appearance, and so does Mark Sanchez in a cowboy hat with a mustache. And they're not even in the top five most famous people that make the call, so you should check that out.
That's fantastic. Goot, on to you. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. So as we think about resurrections this weekend, I think about some of the greatest career resurrections we've seen. And so I'd like to give a shout out to one Plaxico Burress, who shot himself, was quite literally, put his life at risk on his own accord,
and
was able to resurrect his career. And in watching these videos tucked under the covers at night, I forgot how much of a horse Plaxico Burress was on the Giants. He was outrageous. If you get a good 5 minutes, it's worth the watch on YouTube.
He just used his time to talk about Plaxico Burress in a resurrection.
Who had a greater comeback, Plaxico Burress or Jason Pierre-Paul?
Ooh, I would argue Pierre-Paul has been nothing.
I'd say JPP as well.
And if you think about that, not to overrun my FaceTime here, but now you got me thinking about Giants D lines of the late 2000s. And if we're talking about Strahan, Umanyora, Pierre-Paul, I mean, Mathias Kiwanuka, these were just feared D-lines, and that's really what led him to the two Super Bowls.
I'm glad you acknowledged
Justin
that.
Justin Tuck. Let's not forget Justin Tuck. Jay Alford. We're talking all the big boys. The big hog.
You're acknowledging the defense instead of Eli Manning, and that makes me happy.
Eli's on first ballot Hall of Famer, but that's for another podcast.
Yeah, we'll save that one. I can't wait to get people on there against you on that one. Tyler, you ready for your 40 seconds? I'm going to mute myself so I don't laugh. You ready?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go over. First off, just want to acknowledge that I did buy David Ray's hat for him. He looks snazzy in it. Second off, want to talk to all the home cooks out there. Just want to tell you that, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Don't say you can't cook. That pisses me off because nobody knows how to cook. Follow a recipe or don't follow a recipe. Just use a recipe as a guideline. I see people all the time that are like, oh, I can't cook. Well, first of all, just follow a recipe. Second of all, be ingenuitive. Don't follow a recipe. I made some soup the other day. It sucked. I took two sips and threw out a whole big pot. It took me 4 hours, and it was one of the worst things I've ever put in my mouth. But you know what? I learned from it, and we're going to rebound back. There's a guy on YouTube, while you're checking out your Plaxico Burress highlights, his name is Marco Pierre White. Gordon Ramsay worked in his kitchen when he was real young, but he's kind of this new age of attitude chefs. And he basically says, like, hey, food is food. You make it how you like it. Do whatever you want. So check out Marco Pierre White on YouTube. He's washed up and doing ads for this really MSG high, sodium high stock pots. But he's awesome.
Will you update us when you try the soup again?
Absolutely.
Because we need to – what color was it?
Well, it was like broccoli and cheddar, but I didn't have broccoli and I didn't have cheddar. So try to make it work with some cauliflower and some carrots and some Gouda cheese. It was rough. I'm not going to lie. It smelled not bad, but it tasted like the underside of my boot. So I'm going to give it another roll. I might try for some cheddar or some broccoli in my broccoli and cheddar soup. But it was not good.
That was fantastic, boys. Wrapping it up, we will see you again next time, where I hope to get Goot and Tyler on for a episode where they have to pick from their favorite chain restaurants and to make a meal from it.
I look forward to it.
That one will be a train wreck.
We'll see you later, gentlemen.
All right, see
you. Peace, boys.
Get the recording, Michael.
Yep.